Welcome back, friends. We're now taking up the question concerning was Bergoglio ever, when did the anti-papacy of Bergoglio occur in my mind? When did I think that occurred? So looking at the sinful ecclesiastics he has surrounded himself, personnel determines policy when you're dealing with a professional liar like Bergoglio. You can't, I learned very quickly that to listen to what he said was not going to get me to what he was, what his agenda was, what his game was. I quickly learned to look at those individuals he surrounded himself with. Additionally to the personnel, the personnel he put himself in positions of power, the packing of the College of Cardinals, the destruction of various faithful and prominent institutes made me want to have his pontificate to be completely nullified. That's really what I'd want. I'd like to put the Bergoglian event down a memory hole, and we just all start over in 2003 and try and make sense of them. But for me, wanting something in and of itself doesn't make it so. But then something odd started to happen in my mind. I started noticing that Benedict, so at that point, I'm starting to think, you know, he's still valid. He was validly elected, and he just threw his own heretical and apostate behaviors had become an antipope. So here's what became something I noticed. I noticed that Benedict continued acting like a pope. And that disconnect between having two men in white made me start wondering that something wasn't right. Ratzinger's thought has been a particular interest of mine through many years. What made him unique to my study was that he was not a Thomist, but yet was Orthodox, or at least he was Orthodox in his later years, and that's what I understood his work to be. I still don't speak German, and it never really occurred to me to look at his earlier thinking. He parted ways with Rahner, his mentor, and that was good enough for me. You know, we all make mistakes in our youth. We move on, and that was my thinking. However, Ratzinger's lack of use of Thomas Aquinas, which I noticed as I read with him, and his preference for German theologians. So when I'm reading his work, he'll refer back to German theologians that I couldn't really access in their own language. And I started to develop a guarded position, of a weighed position against Benedict. I suspect, and that the reason for that is that so much of heresy and problems within the church has come out of the German contingent, and I'm talking like the mid 1800s, a little bit before. And that little concern planted a seed that Benedict was still the Pope and that Bergoglio wasn't. But I did not at that time, with that seed of thinking, to have enough facts for a public declaration, certainly, of moral certitude. But I had some sort of a mother's intuition, call it a movement of the Holy Spirit, call it whatever you like. But it was that tying back, it seems like that appeal to the German objection that made me kind of wonder about the whole thing. The massive, massive crisis in the church has taught me many things, and one of them was how corrupted the shepherds are as a whole. Of course, there are some good ones. They're wonderful, you know, but there are very few. As a body, they deserve censure. I could very well believe that they had pulled a fast one with Bergoglio's election. And church history shows similar betrayal on a large scale of those entrusted with the care of God's people. Infiltration by Taylor Marshall gave me the legal standing to object Bergoglio, even though Marshall does not come to the same decision, at least at the time of the publication of that book. So here comes that odd thing, right? That here I'm going to be seeing Taylor Marshall's infiltration as nullifying the election process, and with the election process being null and void, Bergoglio was never validly elected pope. That'll be the conclusion I come, in part because of Taylor Marshall's work, whereas he himself does not. And that's okay. That's an okay thing. Canon law number